This podcast is produced by The Sound Boutique, an award-winning audio production company right here in Shepparton. It produces music for TV and brands, it fixes problem audio for a variety of clients, and yes, it produces podcasts like the one you're listening to right now, as well as providing training for people who want to produce their own. If you'd like help with anything from music, problem audio, or if you'd like your organisation to start a podcast, you can contact The Sound Boutique at the email hello@thesoundboutique.com or via the link in the show notes. Hello and welcome to The Shepartonian. I'm Gareth and this is the local podcast bringing you stories, voices and creativity from in and around Shepparton. Before we begin, a quick thank you to the local businesses supporting The Shepartonian through the Shepartonian Business Club. Their backing makes it possible to keep sharing local stories like this one. You'll find details of our supporters on the website, and if you're a business in or around Shepparton and you'd like your message put in front of a local audience, just head to the Business Club page at theshepartonian.uk. In this episode, we meet Sally Kemp, a Shepartonian songwriter and singer whose musical journey spans decades and whose creative spark has reignited in recent years. After many years in what she describes as musical hibernation, Sally found herself inspired to start writing songs again. She revisited old material, songs she wrote from the 1970s onwards that had once lived on reel-to-reel tapes, had them restored and released as an album called Songs From Then. I can't keep it to myself because it's eating up my heart and it's all that's keeping us apart. But now I know for sure. Yes, I know for sure. Alongside her rediscovered catalogue, she's writing new music, including a song called Don't Look Away, due for release on Friday, the 27th of Feb. Written to bring attention to hungry and deprived children around the world. Sally's return to songwriting didn't begin with a big announcement or long-term plan. It started quietly by listening.
Well, it was 2021. There was a climate change conference. It was COP26, I think. And because it was in Glasgow, there was a lot of publicity in this country. And so we were subjected to a lot of it on the radio. And because I listened to a lot of radio, I was soaking it all up. And I suddenly thought, I'm sure I wrote a song about this very subject way back in the 70s. And so I had a route around, dug out the lyrics, and I couldn't remember the tune. And I also wanted to tweak it a bit. So I rewrote a couple of verses and invented a tune quickly. And it was not that long after the pandemic had started, so it was sort of quite good to keep myself occupied. And then a friend, a couple of years after that, wrote a book about her turbulent marriage to an artist. And I thought it was a lovely title. I read the book and I thought, God, I'm going to have a go at condensing that long story into a few verses of song. And it was great. It gave me my discipline back. It got me thinking again, and I enjoyed it.
That idea of discipline comes up again and again when Sally talks about writing, both then and now.
I think mainly I'd lost the discipline of sitting down, and I hadn't played the guitar. Mostly in songwriting, you get an idea and you play with it, you sit down, try and stick it together. But it is a hell of a lot of discipline. It's making yourself sit down and, if necessary, staring at a sheet of paper and just getting on with it. And I think most writers would probably tell you that. Unless I'm the exception. I don't think I'm the exception. And it's fine that, you know, you get up from the chair and you go and make a cup of tea and come back and have another go. And I enjoyed it. I actually found I was enjoying doing it. It was making me use my brain again, which was good.
Recently, Sally released an album called Songs From Then, made up of recordings from earlier in her life. Listening back after many years brought a mix of reflection and surprise.
I don't listen to them a great deal, and I haven't listened to them a great deal over the years. Just when the occasional relative says, oh, do you remember this? And let's hear it. So, and I'd never done anything about, you know, promoting them or sort of pushing them in any way. But I did listen to them again on the old reel-to-reel tapes, and I actually enjoyed them. I thought, they're not actually that bad, because you're always worried about your own writing, I think. So you always think, there's always a bit of an imposter syndrome, and you think, oh, gosh. Anyway, I thought, well, before I get too much older, I might as well get them out there and just see what occurs, you know. And people will like them or they won't like them, but it'll be worth a go. I was at my sister's house a few weeks ago, and my nephew said, they've got Alexa sitting in the corner of the blooming room. And he said, Alexa, play Sally Kemp's Songs From Then. And it did. Oh, cool.
You probably set off a load of Alexas
now. We're not in this house, yeah. But, cool, dear. It's, yeah, it was quite something, actually. It was quite scary, but it was quite nice, you know. Yeah. I can't deny it. It was a nice feeling.
Did anything about them surprise you when you listened back?
Yes, I suppose the sound of my voice was a lot higher than I thought it would, because it's dropped considerably over the years. But it's, yeah, that did surprise me. And I thought, gosh, how did I get up there and reach some of those notes?
Age, voice and change all become part of the story, but not obstacles.
Because I haven't sung for such a long time, I've lost the elasticity, I suppose, in my voice. So anything I do, if I'm going to stretch it a bit, I have to work at. And I suppose I'm writing for a lower register, you know. It's something that's just, I'm going with what I've got.
Yeah.
Earlier in her career, Sally spent years touring, working in wine bars, doing session work across a wide range of styles.
I was on the road a lot in my early career, with groups, with various bands. And then I started doing a lot of stuff because I wanted to stay home a bit more. I went into wine bars and very smoky joints, because everywhere there was smoking in those days. And then I was doing a lot of session work. And I loved it, it was great. But that in itself gives you a lot of discipline, because you got to turn up on time for a session. And I suppose I've been a little bit lax in, you know, when you do your own thing, you don't worry about stuff like that. But the discipline of working in a studio most days, it did help, you know, it gave me that discipline. Mm. And I enjoyed it and met a lot of interesting people. But with the session work, you didn't know what you were going to get. I mean, it would be anything from reggae. I did a lot of reggae, which was brilliant. And then you'd get another call and you'd find yourself in a studio with people like, you've probably never heard of it now, of Mondo Ross. He had a big, big orchestra, you know, and it was a Latin orchestra. And one of my Latin heroes. And, of course, I got into the studio and discovered it was him. And there were about six of us singing. I was given a sheet of paper with a million dots on it. And panic sets in. And, oh, my God. And so you do everything, you know, straight away. You get one quick run through and then you do it. So it ranged from reggae, where it was a little bit more free and easy, to something like that, very disciplined. Lots of notes on a page and trying to fight your way through it. I have to be honest, I'm sure sometimes, I mean, fortunately, I had a little bit of musical nous, so maybe I didn't exactly follow the dots as I was saying, but I got away with it, I think. Yeah. Yes. And then the fact that I was still working in wine bars and breathing in all that smoke really took its toll. And eventually I was trying to sing one night, and I thought, God, what's that? It's just come out of my mouth. This weird sound had come out. Over a period of about 2 weeks, I became quite scared to sing, because I didn't know what was going to come out of my mouth. You know, it had damaged vocal cords.
Life is full of moments worth celebrating. The yes to the proposal on holiday, the wedding of your dreams, the joy of welcoming a new baby, or the love that's grown stronger over the years. Celebrant Danielle Davis creates ceremonies that capture your story, unique, joyful, and unforgettable. Whether it's a wedding, a vow renewal, naming, or milestone celebration, Danielle will make it truly yours. Visit danielledavis.uk to start creating ceremonies for every chapter of your life. Shepperton Matters is your monthly community magazine, hand-delivered, available for pickup, and also online at villagematters.co.uk. You'll find it full of stories, history, information, and local traders and advertisers. 9,000 copies are distributed every month. Call Monica Jones on 07979 808 991 for more information. Coming back to songwriting also led to something new.
I was listening to a Radio 4 Today programme one morning, and I switched on, of course, almost at the end of an interview that was being given with a spokesman from a charity, a children's charity. And I don't know which one it was, but I think I know the presenter. It was a lady presenter. And she asked him what, when people were seeing all these horrible images and photographs and, you know, being bombarded with it at, in your homes through the television, what would be the one thing you would ask of them? And he said, just don't look away. And it resonated with me, and I couldn't get those words out of my head. So in a couple of weeks, I sat down and thought, well, give it a go, see what comes out of it. Because it's always, well, mostly for me, it's an idea, a title that gets you going. So wrote about this, and I think the important thing is it's not just that there's poverty all over the world, it's here, right here as well, you know? Probably even closer to home than we like to think. And it came out actually quite easy, that song, and I enjoyed writing it.
The song Don't Look Away was recorded with the Cast Youth Theatre Group here in Shepperton with the intention of raising money for a children's charity.
The Cast Youth Theatre Group very generously gave their time and their talent, and we went down there and recorded it. And Gareth, you know, you've mixed it and made it sound pretty damn good, I think. And so the intention is to get it out there, try and make some money for a children's charity. We haven't quite decided which one yet, but we will do very soon. So we've got to get it out onto social media. That, you know, is something I haven't done before, so it's all new to me. I always used to think I was reasonably technically savvy, but I've realised I haven't got a clue. I press the buttons when it says do this and that's going to happen, and I press the button and something totally different happens. And I have to say, if it wasn't for you, I don't know where I'd be with it. But it's been interesting fun, and I am learning a little bit, and some of it is going in and staying there. Mm. But I am very reliant on people who know what they're doing.
I asked Sally what she hopes people will feel when they hear Don't Look Away.
I hope it pricks their conscience a little bit, because we are, myself included, pretty complacent. We have fairly easy lives, and we just don't think about these poor people and these poor kids. You know, it's mainly, everybody suffers, the grown-ups suffer, but it's the kids that get to you, you know. Isn't that not their fault? They don't stand a chance, poor little things. So I hope that it will just cause a few people to have a think about it and maybe put their hands in their pockets.
There's also something important about sharing this work locally.
I've lived here now since 2014 permanently, and I just love Shepperton. It's a great place. But I haven't really got too involved with stuff. I suppose I've kept myself to myself, you know, doing up the house, sort of getting on with life. So I'm hoping that they may just take pity on me and perhaps play the songs a bit, you know, and play the song a bit. I would love to think that the community could get involved, because, you know, all the proceeds from that single will go to a children's charity. I'm not going to hoik it in for myself, and I hope that they'll come on board with it. I'm sure they will. From what I've seen from looking at the local Facebook page, they're a pretty generous bunch around here.
Before we finished, I asked Sally what she'd say to anyone with an old creative project tucked away.
Oh, just sit down and start, you know. It's always starting it. That's the very first time you've got to sit down, make yourself sit down with a pen and a paper and get on with it. And that really is all it's all about. I'm sure there are loads of people around here with lots of stuff to say, lots of creative ideas. You know, just talking to people if you're out shopping. And some of these people, they make me laugh, you know, they've got stories to tell. But it really is the first step, is just sitting down with a pen and paper, making a plan, or if you, you know, in my case, if you're going to write a song, sit down and wait until the first line comes, or if you've got the first line, stick that down and just get on with it. Go make a cup of tea, have a walk around the room, but come back to it and make sure you say, I'm going to spend 2 or 3 hours, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to work at it. And that applies now, it's always applied. And I bet it applies with you too, Gareth.
Of course.
That was Sally Kemp. You'll find links to her new album, Songs From Then, in the show notes. And my thanks again to the businesses supporting the Shepherdtonian via the Shepherdtonian Business Club. Their support helps keep this podcast rooted in the community and allows it to continue episode by episode. I'm Gareth. This has been the Shepherdtonian. Thanks for listening and see you around.